absolutely die if our podcast got put in a time capsule and then like people dug it up and they were like, ah, the pinnacle of society.
I hope you're enjoying your trip to Mars. This is a podcast from 2021. Hello.
Oh, hey, guys.
Welcome to Out of Dodge,
the only podcast on the internet. Just the asset. We deleted them all. We're the last one.
So I'm Shane.
And I'm Trevor. And we went to film school. Can you believe it? I sure as hell don't. And, you know, on this podcast, we talk about movies, TV shows, video games, anything we have opinions on, mainly. And boy, do we got opinions.
Oh, yeah.
So, Shane, I was scrolling through Twitter
great.
The other day.
Great start.
And I saw a thing being like, hey, there's going to be a new Harry Potter TV show. And I was like, really? And they're like, it's going to be on HBO. And I was like, really? That's almost hard to believe. And potentially fake news, but who's to say?
Yeah, I think it might have been fake. I can't. It's hard to get a vibe, but a lot of people were like denying it.
Yeah, specifically HBO and Warner Brothers were like, Hollywood Reporter, you're wrong. But it got my gears turning. Got me thinking about stuff, you know?
Great, great. Love
specifically,
it.
Franchises and franchises. How those sort of films and series work, and I wanted to have this conversation with you. Franchises, what are they? Who are they? Why are they?
What do they want?
And when are they?
Are they inside? Did you lock your door?
The franchise is coming from inside the house. What are your general opinions? Just like if someone's like, "Hey, we're gonna make this into a franchise." What do you think? What do you feel? What's your gut reaction? Because I have a very strong one.
So franchises can be a gold mine, obviously. Everyone's kind of chasing that franchise cake. The problem is it's a really tricky balancing act because if you fuck up the foundation, you're not going to get the franchise house. You need to have good actors. You need to have a strong opening film. You need to have really good world building, and you want a hint of what's to come. But you don't want to like bury your film in promises of a better film in the future. Because that film might not happen.
And I actually have a clarifying question. What do you consider a franchise to be? It's not enough to be like, look, there's two movies. It's a franchise, you know? It's like, no, that's a original and a sequel. I don't know. I feel like a franchise to me is like a multimedia thing that maybe it doesn't originate as a film, but it like definitely spawns like maybe a video game or like a book series or like novelizations. And it has more than like two or three entries. That's just me. Maybe there's like different films that like interconnect, like a Hobbs and or a Shaw. What do you think?
Okay, well, for me, and I totally understand what you're saying, what a franchise or a good franchise needs to be is maybe three or more films, perhaps based on an existing property. Like, let's say there's a huge book series out there and some Hollywood guy is like, listen, we got to make this into a bunch of movies because everybody knows about this and everybody likes this. And that has franchise potential. You know, and then there are other things where it's like, oh, this is a good idea. We could probably expand this into like 18 other movies. Let's make this into a franchise. A franchise kind of has like a larger than life quality when it's good. Like I would say the Marvel Cinematic Universe or Star Wars are things that are bigger than life. And I think a franchise kind of needs to have that energy going for it. It can't just be like, oh, this film had a bad sequel and then it went away. Like that's not really a franchise.
Like, would you say Hunger Games is a franchise? Because I would say Hunger Games is a series.
I wouldn't say it's like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings, but I feel like Hunger Games has that. They've created an entire world with the films, and there was a prequel novel last year, and I think they already bought the movie rights to it and are working on it. Okay. So I feel like it has the potential to continue into a bunch of other things. Uh-huh. So that's kind of why I consider it a franchise, if only because it's big. Like, it's real big. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Would you only categorize things that are successful a franchise?
Like, after Marvel became really successful, DC was like, we can do that. The answer is kind of no.
It's weird because it almost succeeded by not doing what it set out to do.
Well, the weird thing about the DC Extended Universe, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Entertainment Universe.
The first movie in what was supposed to be that universe was fucking Green Lantern. Like, that came out. That came out 2 years before Man of Steel came out. And Green Lantern was supposed to spawn many sequels, not only to Green Lantern, but to other heroes. And the movie ends by teasing the big Green Lantern villain, whose name I forgot.
Sinestro? Yeah.
Yes. Green Lantern, the CGI is so bad. Mm-hmm. And there's so much CGI when there shouldn't be CGI. And it just looks so ungrounded, and it's very silly, but not in a good way.
No.
And it just completely falls flat. After that failed, DC was like, we can course correct. And I would argue, no. But they tried to launch a different version of that with Man of Steel by being like, what if Superman was, like, sad or angry or whatever?
I do think the general tone of Man of Steel potentially could have been due to the success of the Nolan Batman series.
The thing about Man of Steel is, like, it's not great, but mm-hmm. there's, like, a little spark of, okay, maybe if we change a few things with the next few movies, we can fix it. Like, it was not an unsavable moment, I don't think, but then they kind of doubled down on the stuff that didn't work in Man of Steel for the other movies, and that is what gave us Justice League, so.
Yeah. A lot of studios, after, you know, Marvel had done the Avengers and, you know, done a couple other films, right, in that connected universe, they saw their success and went, I want that too. But didn't give their products and properties the attention and the care that Marvel and Kevin Feige did,
mm-hmm.
Which resulted in a couple of failed, you know, or false starts, right? So
yeah.
Apparently they're retconning a bunch of stuff in
Good.
The DC Entertainment Universe or whatever.
I don't care about the continuity.
No offense, I haven't seen Shazam or Aquaman, and I really have no interest in it.
Shazam's actually super joyful, and I feel like if they go in that direction, then they can have mm-hmm. a good future.
Okay.
You know, but...
Yeah.
You can still be fun. Just because Marvel's fun doesn't mean you can't have fun. Superheroes are inherently fun.
The Dark Universe.
Yes, please.
That was... I think it only has one film. It was The Mummy with... what's his name?
Tom Cruise.
I almost said Tom Hanks. I would watch that, you know? Tom Hanks as the mummy.
That'd be super fun.
It's me. Tom Hanks the mummy. That's just a mess of a film. They try to introduce the mummy, I guess, which is Tom Cruise. They also try to introduce, like, they have, like, the Skull of Dracula. Oh, no. Oh no, Dracula Untold is the start.
Let me roll back for a couple seconds if you don't mind. So the thing about the Dark Universe is Dracula Untold was like a Dracula prequel movie that people wanted. They made most of the movie and then they were like, wait. Let's add some shit there at the end so we can pretend that it's part of these other movies we want to make. So they did some reshoots and added some scenes at the end where he was in the future, in the modern times, and he was like, oh boy, the adventures that I'm going to get up to, me, Dracula. So it's barely a part of this universe. And then they were like, okay, now the real movie is going to be The Mummy with Tom Cruise. And it's so bad. Like, every Easter egg in The Mummy is so ham-fisted, and they're like, oh, it's cool because Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, he runs a S.H.I.E.L.D. organization, but it's boring and stupid, and it's so, like, the energy in this movie that Tom Cruise gives off is just so fucking wild because he's mm-hmm. like, I'm such a cool dude, and I have sex all the time, and I can take down the mummy, and I'm like, are you okay? Or, it's just terrible energy. It's so, there's no charisma in the mummy.
They did a weird photo shoot where they had all these different people that are like, Angelina Jolie is going to play Bride of Frankenstein, and Javier Bardez is going to play the Wolfman, and like so-and-so. Oh, and Johnny Depp's going to be the Invisible Man.
Yeah, nope.
Apparently, the story behind that photo shoot, none of them were in the same... They never got any of them in the same room together. They just got like stills of each of them and then just photoshopped them together. And they're like, this is the cast of the dark universe. Not even the people who were paid to be there cared enough to be there together.
What kills me, after the mummy completely exploded and everybody hated it, they retooled the Invisible Man. They got rid of Johnny Depp. And they decided to instead make it a movie that was more of a thriller. And it actually worked really well. Like, I think The Invisible Man, and I want to say it came out either last year or the year before it, is super fucking scary. Mm-hmm. And it works because it's not tied to any of this other shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even though the franchise is dead and the Dark Universe is super dead, I feel like we could be getting more Invisible Man. I don't know how it would work necessarily.
I heard
but
there was going to be a sequel. I heard rumbles.
I know what I would do, but
the other thing that I heard was like The Invisible Man was successful and people liked it, right? I immediately heard they're like, we're gonna do the monster movies again, like the Universal monster movies, but we're gonna put it here in Invisible Man world, and like, you know, they're frothing at the mouth, and I'm like, you gotta calm down, like. Just because one movie did okay doesn't mean you need to shove your fist down its throat and be like, we're gonna make a whole franchise. Another one that's just kind of all over the place, inconsistent.
Sure.
Jurassic World Park.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Yes.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Well, the first one is obviously
first one's the best.
One of the
it's
best
my favorite
films
movie.
Of all time. But then they keep on going, and I think there are good moments in maybe all of them,
yeah.
Save for maybe Fallen Kingdom or whatever.
I'd say the first one's fantastic, second one's all right, third one's kind of a mess.
That pterodactyl scene, though.
Oh my god.
When it plays soccer with the plane, it's just, it's nuts.
It's, yeah.
Because
no,
I'm like,
then,
if I was in that situation, I would just have a heart attack. I'd be like, I
if
can't
I was
make
in
it out
any
here.
Situation, I love dinosaurs, right? I mean,
if I saw
not
one, I'd die.
Because, yeah, no, I would just explode.
If I hear my cell phone ringing in a giant monster's stomach, I am going to die.
Maybe the third one is better than I think it is.
The third one just has a lot of good horror elements. I don't think it's great, but
yeah.
there are some really well-directed scenes.
It ends really oddly. It ends
it
so
ends,
abruptly.
I feel like they didn't write an ending, because it's like, the military is here, the dinosaurs are done, and I'm like, what?
Oh, let me hit you with another franchise.
Yeah?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I wrote that down!
Pirates of the Caribbean. Inconsistent as all hell.
I wrote it down on my list of failed franchises, but I definitely wrote a little note that said, strange case, because Pirates of the Caribbean
three.
Is alive and dead at the same time.
Yeah, the first three were like cultural phenomenons.
Yeah, I feel like the first one's still probably the best one. It has a consistent story through all three films.
Yeah.
It has a strong trio of characters. But then Disney's like, well, let's forget about two of them. And then we're going to rely solely on Captain Jack Sparrow. And let me tell you, not a great call. They released two more films that did not do well at all and people did not like. And I've never heard anyone say anything good about them.
Was it the Curse of the Black Pearl was like the
last
one?
That was the first one. I think Dead Tales Tell No Men. Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Dead Men Tell No Tales is a mess.
But also, I think one of the most expensive movies ever made.
Why?
Which really upsets me. I think because of cast. Because Johnny Depp, I think. And Orlando Bloom. He's in it. And Keira Knightley's in it for like a second.
That doesn't count. That's not Keira Knightley content.
Apparently they kill Poseidon. Our friend Gabe was telling me about this, and it's just the most
fucking terrible.
Insane thing I've ever heard.
In the original trilogy, it was like built up that we're going to have to fight, you know, the British, and they're getting shittier. And then we fight them and we get them. But to be like,
yep.
And then Poseidon, that's not based on anything. If you don't build up the threat, it doesn't really make sense and kind of comes out of nowhere. It just feels dumb, you know?
Like the original trilogy, like, it was like, oh, there's magic, and there's, like, ghost stories and stuff like that. It's like, that's cool, right? And then they're like, but magic is getting weirder now. And Blackbeard has a magic boat that he controls with his mind. And I'm like, I hate this.
What?
I
it's a fucking
movies.
Drone? Drone warfare?
He's, like, roping people up, and he's like, ye got me brain in a boat. And I'm like, stop it. Get out of here. There's two characters that you care about, because they're from, actually three. Because, like, Barbosa's in it. Mr. Stubbs or whatever is in
it. I do like him, yeah.
Jack Sparrow's in it. And, like, literally everyone but those three people die in that movie. Like, the whole cast just, like, dies.
Why?
Why even have this movie? Like, it's just completely pointless.
It's so disconnected, I think, from what made the first movie and the first three movies really work. Which was, like, really solid world building, but also, like, a good main cast. And I mean, like, they had the three strong leads who all went through things at the same time. Like, that's why it worked.
Yeah, and they all, like, were dynamic, and their priorities shifted. And
they all became,
like
stronger and cooler and dealt with shit. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And but there was the cool historical, like, meets magical aspect that just, like, completely gets...
And they also fought in a giant fucking whirlpool hurricane. I think that's...
It was really cool.
That's great.
I kind of want to watch this. Those are on Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, they have to be. They made them.
I might watch Little Pirates one day. I got so many on my list. I mean, Star Wars obviously is huge. It's, I would say, maybe on par with the MCU.
Yeah, it's the only thing that popularity. Really has that kind of size or power.
Yeah. I mean, Harry Potter is a very close contender.
Oh, yeah, Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, but maybe only...
I would probably say Harry Potter is, like, bigger.
No, Harry Potter is more consistent if we don't talk about Grindelwald.
You know, James Bond, which is, again, kind of all over the place. Planet of the Apes.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, shit. Deep cut, huh?
Wow.
But it's weird because they, like, always reinvent it for that series, right? But it's like the newer ones where it's just like, oh, they're just apes that got smart. They're not in space or whatever.
Well, they were never in space because it was always Earth.
Yeah, I guess Earth is in space. So I had a question for you.
Okay.
So the Fox and the Sony Marvel films, I would argue the Fox Marvel films, specifically the X-Men films, that's a franchise, you know? There's a bunch of different films that kind of work together. Not well, but they exist. And then I feel like the Sony Spider-Man films are very self-contained.
There's a lot of false starts with Spider-Man, but because... Mm-hmm. At least until recently, it's so contained. I would agree
that it's those more are just of a series.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially because with, like, X-Men, you would get, like, Deadpool and Logan and then Days of Future Past and then just regular X-Men 2.
God, there's so many X-Men movies.
Not a lot of them are good, but more of them are good than you'd think.
I can agree with that. I saw this online, but I would argue that potentially it's not a franchise. Pixar... films.
No, because it's just a studio that makes movies.
Oh, that's why I wanted to bring it up. I wanted you know, beg the question.
Because they have, like, movies that are, like, a series or could potentially be a franchise, but I wouldn't call all the movies they make because they're not connected, despite what weirdos on the internet like to pretend.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bunch of movies. Nothing connects Brave and Wally, team. Sorry.
Fast and Furious.
Oh, yes.
Hobbs and Shawverse. That's what the full title is, actually.
That, you know, technically a successful franchise. I don't know why, 100%. The first movie is about stealing DVD players.
VHS players.
Sorry, it's even dumber than what I said. That's what the first movie is about. And then, by the fifth or sixth movie, they are fighting to save the planet.
They haven't gone to space yet, though.
They are going I'm almost 100%. I don't know who's going to get to space first, if it's Fast and Furious or Mission Impossible, but both of them are going to space. My money is on the table on that.
Has James Bond gone to space?
Oh, 100%, Moonraker.
Okay, yeah.
Speaking of spy franchises, I think my favorite and possibly the most successful spy franchise is Mission Impossible.
I would agree.
Because, like, there's the first one, and we've talked about the second one being a bit of a goof. But then, when Mission Impossible 3 rolls around, and they're fighting on that goddamn bridge, it's a fucking time and a half. And from there, we've
just
gone... The missile thing. Good. From there, we've just gone up, and we've had, like, really involved plots, and really tense showdowns, and, like, really cool, intricate bad guys.
I would say I only dislike one. That's the second one. Mission Impossible 2. Too much... Dial it back a little bit.
The only mild complaint I will say is that in every Mission Impossible movie, there's a scene where the agency is like, oh my god, Ethan Hunt, he's turned on us, he's bad. And I'm like, listen, This is your only successful agent. Well, not only, but he's your most successful agent. And he's never betrayed you once. And every single time you think he betrayed you and you hunt him down, you realize that, oops, we made a mistake. So maybe, for 1 second, when you get the report that he's gone rogue, think about it and go, does this seem wrong? Does this not make sense? And then don't try to kill him. I understand, like, the reasoning, because it's like, oh, if everything's working against your main character, then it makes it more tense. But at a certain point, like, you have to trust your dude if he does the job every time.
The second film is actually the only one where he isn't disavowed from the agency.
That's weird, and it's the one that doesn't work.
Yep.
Maybe I'm wrong. Disavow him again.
What does it stand for?
What does what stand for?
The acronym of the agency.
Impossible Mission Force.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Transformers.
Wow.
The first one's all right. Everything else is just bad.
I think this is a wild take, and I'm not saying it's good, but there are certain parts of the third one that I kind of like, if only because
100%.
It's cool to see shit get leveled. But that's it. That's all I'm saying.
There's certain parts of, like, the original three where I'm like, yes. But everything else is just... it's not good. But Bumblebee's
pretty good, actually. Yeah, I don't know where they're going to go. Because actually, in every Transformers film, they would undermine what they had said previously. So, for example, if I may, Transformers Please. 1, a Transformer landed here in the past and was in the Arctic, and we have him in the Hoover Dam, and that's all we know about robots. In the second one, they're like, actually, no, the Egyptians worshipped the Transformers, they built the pyramids, and there's a giant star-destroying weapon in a pyramid. Okay. And the third one, they go, actually, during the Apollo missions, we found a giant, huge Transformer ship on the moon. Isn't that fucking silly? Uh-oh. And then they open a portal and invade Earth. In the fourth one, they're like, actually, no. The dinosaurs were Transformers and killed by Transformers or something. And then in the fifth one, they go, actually, Bumblebee fought the Nazis.
Which was the one with Merlin?
Yep, that was, like, yeah, sorry, yeah. Also, Merlin and Arthur were involved with the Transformers, and there's a giant Transformers sword.
Wasn't Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins, by the way, wasn't he in that?
Yes, it was Transformers The Last Night.
I don't like Cade Yeager. He's a real D-bag.
He's kind of a bad... it's not a great character.
He's just an awful human being. He's not, like, a good main character.
I understand.
He's a good villain, potentially.
The impulse to be like, oh, a mechanic is the main character. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense because Transformers are cars.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just weird and inconsistent.
I mean, they're technically robots in disguise, but...
you know, it doesn't really have, like, the charm that maybe...
I would say there's a charm in the original trilogy. Bourne. Would you say Bourne would be a franchise?
Bourne? Oh, yes, with a U, yes.
Yeah.
Because they were like, we're going to do one without him. And I'm like, that's bad. But then they're like, we're going to bring it back. And that was worse somehow. Which is, I don't know how they did that.
Five Bournes.
Yes. So the first three, Matt Damon has amnesia and was a secret soldier. And he's like, who am I? What do I do? And he's driving small cars down alleyways against police who are also in small cars because Europe's a pretty silly place. and he's taking out dudes. He usually doesn't kill, but there's some really good hand-to-hand combat and cool spy stuff. And then in the first three movies, he figures out who he was and what he did. And he's like, okay, I get it. And then they're like, we're going to do another one. And we're going to have Hawkeye be a Bourne. And it was really boring. And they were like, actually, there are these vials of medicine that make people Bournes. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I never understood. I was like, is he like a super soldier?
And they were like, we're just not going to touch on it. And then the movie's going to end. He's on a sailboat. And then they have the audacity to bring Bourne back for the Bourne Again. They didn't call it that. Wouldn't that have been funny?
Yeah, Bourne Again. Oh, that'd be so good.
So they bring him back. And then... the movie's terrible. It's so boring. It's even worse than the Hawkeye Super Soldier experience. Mm-hmm. It's just like he doesn't do anything except crash a bunch of cars in Vegas and then drives away. And I'm like, oh.
I walked in on my dad watching it on his iPad one day. And he was like, I was like, what are you watching? He's like, the newest Bourne movie. And I was like, can I watch? He's like, if you want to, I guess. And I was like, I'm not going to watch it then.
You were like, thank you for saving me.
Because your heart isn't in it. And I watched like the last like 5 minutes where he's crashing into cars in Vegas. But that was it. So that's kind of all the franchises that I have. But I'm sure there's many more. And many more that have tried and failed.
Some of my favorites that I'm going to talk about are movies where they released one film and they were like, we're really confident in this and we're going to make a whole bunch of more and take the world by storm. And audiences got together and said, no, sir.
No,
you will have
you.
No more film. My first infamous example is The Last Airbender film, which was based on one of the best animated series of all time. And they were like, okay, well, there were three seasons of the show, so we're going to make three movies. They released the first one, one of the worst goddamn things of all time. They heavily teased the sequel at the end, too, because they're like, oh, they're going to bring this big villain in, and all this stuff's going to happen. Nope. There's so little magic or charm to the movie, despite the animated show being full of both of those things, and the fight choreography is so bad it makes your eyes bleed. So, mm-hmm. Aragorn... If
y'all
remember,
I was just going to say that.
Aragorn was based on a book series, and there were four books, so ideally they would have made four movies had they made any money. At the end of the film, there's a giant second dragon, because the whole movie, they're like, this is the last dragon, and then there's a big dragon at the end, and you're like, oh boy. The movie is very silly and bad and completely misses like the Lord of the Rings magic that they were trying to capture, but honestly, the books are shitty. Like, I read the first one, kind of liked it. I read the second one, nothing happens. He makes, like, a weird statue for his almost elf girlfriend and then cries a bunch. And I'm like, this is not a book I want to read, team.
Was she almost an elf or almost his girlfriend?
No, it was almost... She was an elf, but she was, like, super old. But you know how elves are. And he wasn't. And she was like, I don't want this. And he was like, but I made a statue. And I was like, what is it? Let's jump over to The Golden Compass.
Oh, my God.
The Golden Compass is based on a... three book series that the Catholic Church does not like too much, but ideally when they released the first film they were like, we're gonna make two more and it's gonna be the next Lord of the Rings. And you might go, oh, did they tease a sequel in this movie? The answer is no, because they cut the final act of the film before they released it, so the movie just kind of ends with them on a big air balloon heading toward adventure, and it's real weird because it just, there's no conclusion there. And it was in the trailer, but they just said, no, we're not going to put it in the movie. It was very bad, and it lacked charm, and it was super convoluted.
His Dark Materials is on HBO, and apparently people like it. I watched the first episode, and I said, this is stupid. The villains, they're like, the goopers are getting people. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's what we're calling them? The things we're supposed to be afraid of are called goobers? Are you insane?
I watched four or five episodes and it didn't get better. The exposition is so bad. It's like just getting hit with a bunch of bricks.
And also the acting. Not yeah, there, man.
It's just uneven. It's not very magical, I guess, for what it wants to be. It's not. It's not Carnival Row, you know?
Yeah, which is good. It's good. But you would think that because of the Catholic Church's aversion to it, that I would like it more. But... it's nonsense.
My next one's pretty controversial. Pretty wild, what I'm going to say about this boy. Mortal Engines. The thing about Mortal Engines is that it's based on a book series, of which there were about four, but there were also a bunch of prequels. So the idea, or the hope, was that, oh, we're going to make this big boy, and then we're going to make a whole bunch of other boys, you know? Mm-hmm. Peter Jackson obviously was heavily involved with the film, and it was like, okay, this will be the next big thing.
Because London was big,
London,
right?
Was a big ship. The movie ended and it was very much like, oh, the world's our oyster and we'll go where the wind takes us or whatever. The plot is that cities are big and they're on wheels and they eat smaller cities because the world ended. However, in the world of the film, there are people that farm, there are people that live on the ground, there are people that live in the sky, there are people that live in cities that don't move. And I
what
would
about
argue
boats?
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think they
okay.
go I don't
okay.
think they go to the
okay.
water though. But I'm sure they're out there because boats were like the first thing we figured out how to do. The premise is like, oh, we have to do this, and then the movie contradicts that premise every step of the way. And it was kind of a huge failure and people didn't want any more of it. I'm gonna be weirdly honest though, I didn't hate it. Like, it's one of those things that's so fucking absurd that you look at it and your eyes are like, wow.
Why do they have to move? Like, is there a big wolf chasing cities?
This huge war happened.
Okay.
Where they set off all these fucking weird fusion weapons and it okay. ended life on Earth. And I'm like, okay, sure. And they're like, the Earth crust got destroyed, but the ground seems fine. And people are just on the ground hanging out. And I'm like, why? They don't really explain or justify the premise of the thing. And it's kind of fun by accident. There's this one thing in this movie where the main character has this adopted dad who's a fucking zombie robot. But her robot adopted dad is super angry. And even though he was like a decent father, he's like, well, clearly I have to turn my daughter into a robot. And she's like, no. I don't want that at all.
What a weird thing.
He tries to murder her throughout the film. I'd recommend it, not like in a real way, not in like a you should take this film seriously and go how good, but I recommend it in the sense that sometimes it's fun to watch a train go into a bunch of water. But speaking of movies that don't justify their premise at all, if y'all remember Ender's Game, which was based on fucking a franchise of 17 books. So it could have been a whole
17 books.
Well, not. I think there's a few direct sequels, but books. Then there's like, oh, this was in the world of the Ender's Game, and this was about the first Formic War, and I'm like, I don't fucking care. So the thing about Ender's Game is that it's about a space war fought by children. Why? Mm-hmm. They don't tell you. So they recruit all these kids to join Space Military Academy.
Sure.
And I mean, they're like 10, and I'm like, that's too young. Why would you do that? And they're like, well, these are the smart ones. These are the only ones that can do it. Because the guy who fought the first war died. But then later in the movie, he comes back. And this is an adult who won the war. And I'm like, why can't he do it? And they don't explain it. There's no way that like 15, 10-year-olds can do space war better than adults. It's just not. Kids are stupid. Have you seen them? No. It's not even like Pacific Rim, where they say that bullshit about how the robot's too big, it needs two people. That doesn't make sense, but at least they give you that explanation. Yeah. This movie is like, no. We're just gonna have a bunch of kids in battle school. But it's not cool like Forward Unto Dawn. It's just silly. So there's a bunch of bad metaphors because... So we go to war with aliens. Aliens invade Earth, almost kill everybody. We beat them. And then we go into space, and we're like, we're going to look for these fuckers and kill them all. And then we do kill them all, and then it's like, that was bad. And I'm like, was it? They came after us. I don't know what to tell you. What if they did it again?
I mean, aren't they like bugs, too? It's a whole
thing. They are giant bugs, and it's trying to be like, oh, well, we should try to understand instead of warfare. But I'm like, these giant bugs, man, I don't... So the author apparently is a huge homophobe, and in articles you read about Ender's Game, awful. It's like... Well, there was a boycott. Maybe that's why the film did bad. And I want to say that, one, there should have been a boycott. But number two, the film did bad because it was bad and does not deserve any extra. It doesn't deserve any reboot or adaptation or series or anything. There's just nothing there. If you want to do a space thing, do something that is better.
Also, don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be a terrible person.
The track record of Star Wars can be kind of spotty and a little bit all over the place. But there's been more good than bad, I would say. However, Disney had some wild plans with these spinoff films that they were making. They made Rogue One. Everybody fucking loved it. It was a closed story. Everyone was like, good job. But then people did not like the film Solo. And when they released Solo, which was an origin story about Han Solo, obviously, it was supposed to be a trilogy. They were riding high on this. They were like, you know what? We're going to make three of them. And then when the film ended, they were like, guess what? Darth Maul is back. And everyone was like, I don't really care about Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And then you found out that Han Solo's girlfriend was evil. And everyone was like, we don't really care about Han Solo's girlfriend.
We care about his girlfriend that matters.
Yeah. We care about Leia. So Solo is terrible for so many reasons that I don't have time to get into. But the pacing is bad. The opening of the film is so weird and stupid. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's no fun in it. Admittedly, Lando is cast super well, but they don't give him enough time to shine. So there's that one scene that I know you and I have complained about, and I think I've cut from earlier episodes of this podcast, where Han goes to a recruitment office, and he's like, I want to join the space military so he can get out of his bad hometown or whatever. And the guy at the desk is like, what are you, alone? Solo? I guess you're Han Solo. And I'm like... That's his name. They really gave us that. They really just...
it's bad, man.
That just kind of epitomizes what the film is. A lot of bad explanations for shit that we didn't want
to
know.
I feel like a lot of studios try to run before they can walk. You know, they're like, let's do this, and we're going to do interconnected movies and a whole universe. And but they like don't lay the groundwork. And maybe they base... the whole series and the whole franchise on like a movie that is very shaky at best or just flat out bad, like in Warcraft or, you know, any of the other movies you just mentioned are just like stinkers.
One of the examples of a franchise that did not quite get off the ground is the Mortal Instruments City of Bones, which was 6 books. So again, ideally it would have been 6 films. It was kind of like, oh, this is the new Twilight. This is the new Harry Potter. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 13%, so no. The franchise completely collapsed. However, the Mortal Instruments would live on as a TV show called Shadowhunters that we had the pleasure of watching today. So this is Middle Watch. This is our segment where we watch an episode in the middle of a series without any fucking context at all. In today's episode, we watch Shadowhunters, Season 2, Episode 4, Day of Wrath.
It's this weird world where people have tattoos and they're Shadowhunters, I guess. They're like, we're cops, but we hunt demons and stuff. And there's vampires and warlocks, and it's very dumb. And I'm sure there's fans of it, but for me, I was like, oh boy. They all have tattoos and they're like magic spells or whatever.
They have a lot of tattoos, so we have a lot of characters in this.
Too many.
We have Clary, who's the main character, and I'd like to address perhaps that that's not 100% a human name, but it's fine because she's a shadow hunter. She's new, I guess. That's the bit. This is season two, though, so I don't know how she's still new. It's been a year, probably.
It gave Clary off like very heavy season one vibes.
And I was like, hey, girl, how do you not? It's like she didn't know so much. And I was like, they hunt demons for a living, and she's like, what's a demon? And I'm like, bitch.
Part of a big part of this episode is they go hunt a demon that's like attacking people and punching them in the chest. She's like, I've never done this before. I'm like, what have you been doing for a full season and three episodes?
Trying to connect with your mom?
Too late.
So that's the main character. We have Jace, who's this angsty boy in prison. He likes to kill, though. That's something.
But he's also in like mega prison.
The City of Bones is an actual prison. It's not a good prison, though, gonna be honest, because the security. Jace is in prison for unknown crimes. They think he worked for the bad guy, who's his dad, because apparently Valentine's the bad guy, and he's the dad of Jace and Clary, which is the whole thing. So
all human names.
There's a bunch of vampires. There's two gay guys. There's Magnus, who kind of has like, who's gay and has kind of has a dad energy. Like, he has this whole thing where he's like, I can't have kids, so I just kind of adopt vampires and help them out. And I'm like, that's neat.
He's
and
a warlock.
There's Alec, who's also gay, and he's Hawkeye because he bought a bow and arrow at Dollar General and likes to shoot people with it. So cool.
He shoots a dude. He really does.
He sticks a guy right in the leg, and I'm like, all right. Let's just get right to the security. This is my biggest pet peeve in this episode. So there's this thing called the Institute, and it kind of just looks like a shitty police department.
It's a church.
It's a really shitty building, and it's their headquarters, right? This is Shadow Hunter headquarters. They're called the Clave. That's a dumb name, but maybe that's in the book, so maybe it's also dumb there. I don't know. They find this body on the street, and a hole got punched through it, and it was a demon. So they bring the body in to get looked at. Why? I don't know. They bring it in, and the demon was inside the body, and then it floats through the air vent because it's a giant smoke monster, which is 100% what does. So the demon goes through the vent. It gets into somebody. It gets into one of the Shadow Hunters. And here's my first problem. Yeah. They have a bunch of tattoos, and they have powers. They have no magic that prevents them from getting possessed, and they fight demons that always possess people.
That, like, exclusively possess? Yeah.
So, like, in bleeped. Uh-huh. they figured out after season one that, oh, we should get tattoos that stop demons because we're always going to be fighting demons. And I'm like, that makes perfect sense. And they have like safeguards. They have like warding or tattoos or stuff they can do to fight demons. In this show, everyone can get possessed by demons and there's no way to stop it. And I'm like, that's so silly because these guys do this for a living.
That's their job.
One of them gets possessed and attacks this lady, and then she breaks his neck with her foot, and then he's like, I'm a demon, and then he breaks her arm, and I'm like, that's a little fucked up. And then he gets shot by the Hawkeye arrow, cool, and then the demon runs away into the air vents again, and it's like, oh shit, a demon. And they're like, we gotta go into lockdown, we gotta get serious. They do not get serious.
They don't get serious.
Two women walk around like in a sewer and are like, meh, no demon here. And then they just kind of stop looking for him, and they just go, eh, it's fine. Clary's mom is in this episode also. She's like, oh, I was just making sure there was no monster under your bed. And I'm like, bitch, there's a demon. And it's not just a demon. It's like a super being or something. They mentioned a super demon. Because the bad guy like designed it specifically to kill shadow hunters, which is like a cool sentence. He just does regular demon stuff. But also, no security. They should be on patrol. They should have knives. They should be like doing magic to find it.
I feel like it goes into people's mouths, right? And so it gets into folk.
Are you saying wear a mask? Is that like,
I'm not trying to make it topical, but maybe wear a mask, baby. You know?
There has to be spells. Why aren't there spells that stop it?
Just close your
mouth.
Why
don't they do any? They don't do anything, and then they get real surprised when the demon attacks because that's what. It's like if a giant bear got in your house, or no, sorry, if a giant bear got in your office and you were like, well, I'm sure it's fine, and you just kind of keep going on with your shit, and then the bear eats somebody, and you go, well, the bear.
Well, no, it's like you've been killing bears for 100 years, and then a bear comes in, and it's like, retaliation. You're like, I could have never expected this.
Okay, so a big thing happened in this episode. Clary's mom is like, hey, I got reassigned to this other place to work. Will you come with me? My daughter, who I haven't known for very long. It's kind of like they're reconnected or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Clary's
yeah.
Listen, I don't really know what I'm about, and I still don't know anything, despite having been in the show for 2 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I need to stay here so I can learn how to fight. And her mom's like, that's fine. And then her mom dies.
Oh, like immediately afterwards.
Gets punched through the chest and there's blood everywhere. And then one of her best friends did it because he got possessed. And like, I know it's not his fault, but that would really fuck with you as a human being forever.
The part that really makes me laugh is, so he's in the hallway with a bloody hand. He's like, what happened? And they all say that. Like, whoever gets possessed, they're like, what happened? Where am I?
How do you not know? You fight demons.
I'm like, come on, guys. Like, use a different script, writers. Or use a script, writers.
They say the line, classic demon hangover, about 40 times in this episode.
Also, they say, let's go hunt a demon every single time they want to end a scene. And I'm like, that's not good, dude.
It's not good because they don't do it until the very end of the episode.
And then friend in the hallway, bloody hand. He's like, uh-huh. What happened? And then she's like, oh no, that's my bedroom or something. And then so she goes into the room and her mom's like on the floor, her chest like completely torn open. And then the dude like pops his head and he's like, oh no, did I do that? Doesn't say anything. Cuts to commercial. We come back from commercial and they're watching it on security camera, which is like, hang on, is there a security camera in every bedroom? That's sus.
Well, okay, yeah, but also, no one's watching the security feed, no one's on patrol, no one's looking for the demon.
But then, and then he's like, so he's like, they're watching this, like both like no emotion in their face watching it, right? It shows him, like the dude, punch the mom in the chest and like rip her heart out, and he goes, oh my god, Clary, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you knew it was you, dude. What are you talking about? Say it earlier.
Somebody else gets possessed. Her cool friend Izzy or whatever gets possessed because they can all get possessed because it's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fight. She does a crazy jump because she's like, oh yeah, I can do stuff. I remembered now after 2 years. She does a jump and stabs the demon with a special knife that we only just introduced. And the demon crawls out of the lady and is like, ah, and the demon actually looks okay because for a second we see like what looks like a form instead of smoke, you know, like we get a little bit of, get some wings, get like a claw or something, and then she stabs it and is like, go to hell. And then
I know, that's the thing that killed your mom's, like, go to hell. Yeah.
And then stabs it and then it kind of goes into hell and that's it.
My second favorite part of the show is when,
please,
so she stabs her friend in the back with this big ass sword, right? Like a human being with a sword. It is, you know, I don't know about you, but that's how like a lot of people died.
Not Shadowhunter.
and then afterwards she's like, she kills the demon and they're like, Izzy, are you okay? And I'm like, she got stabbed by a sword. What do you mean is she okay?
Well, they have healing powers, so.
Yeah, but like, what about healing your mom who got punched in the goddamn chest? The B plot. Okay, so Jace, he's in Supermax prison that has only got one other person in it, apparently. So there's like these dudes who walk around with stitch faces. They're like, you have to do a trial where you put a hand on your sword and say the truth because it compels you. And I'm like, oh, whatever. Some of the questions are like, do you love your father? And he's like, I wish he could be a good man, not like the bastard that he is. And I'm like, okay, that works out. Like, that's a good answer without saying anything. And then they're like, so it turns out you were kissing your sister and you didn't know she was your sister. Do you still love her like a weird way? And he's like, I can't answer that. And I'm like, ew.
It's just weird that's a plot point in this at all, to be honest.
My note
with
says, ew, incest, gross. First off, he's not very attractive. Jace is like, he's like, my, you know, it's a complicated answer. I'm like, it's yes or no, dude. It's also gross and against the law in like every place. He apparently gets out because his dad comes to break him out.
It's the City of Bones. So it's supposed to be like super prison inside of a super prison, buried under the earth. Like, that's what the fucking first book is called, so I think it's a pretty big deal. Our boy Jace can't answer questions worth a goddamn. It's like, you're gonna be in prison forever. He's in the City of Bones, and then he hears a bunch of screaming, because Valentine, his evil dad, got there, and slices up all the weird shadow monks.
They're all kind of gross anyway.
And he's like, I'm gonna save you, and Jace is like, eat shit, bitch. The dad lets him go, and Jace goes immediately to murder. And he actually stabs two dudes with a giant sword like a fucking kebab.
With the sword of truth.
The sword of truth, which kind of looked like Shira's sword if you bought it at a Dollar General. Dollar General sponsored this episode. He stabs two dudes with it and tries to kill his father 18 times, which I do kind of respect.
And his dad just kind of like shoves him and takes the sword. He's like, see you later, nerd.
Yeah, and then he saves like his friend or whatever and kebabs another dude. And is like, what a world. And then he gets back to the Institute and no one like really reacts to him being there. They're like, yeah, okay.
Well, because it's like after big old demon day that no one could have seen coming, you know? The thing that that I wrote.
Please, talk.
Was, you know, as if it's on TV, it has to have like a sappy, like slow pop song at the end to show that like characters are having emotions. Kind of like a Scrubs thing, you know, but Scrubs is good. After like everybody's like dead. And then, like, one character's got stabbed in the back. Main character girl, like, her mom is dead. And she's like, oh my god, my mom's dead. I just killed a demon. And then her like, vampire boyfriend runs up and is like, oh my god, what's going on? Are you okay? And then Jace shows up. And he's like, look, I'm back. And then, like, goes to look at her. And then, like, the sappy music plays. And he's like, I guess she already has someone else. And like, dude, this is your sister dying. I said, boy is sad because sister already loves another guy. And I'm like, what?
Not a great thing to frame the show
it's
around.
It's so icky. And I'm like, you're creating something. You can just be like, I'm going to omit this and I'm just going to make them strangers.
Have her fall in love with somebody else or have him get killed. Like, just do something.
No, we're going to lean into it. We're going to make it romantic. No, it's a crime and it's gross and it's icky. Get out of here. Nothing happened? And also, so much happened?
A lot happened because, like, her mom died and she was a major character and then Jace got out of super jail or whatever.
I mean, I'm sure she'll come back because that happens with all the shows, but...
I mean, I don't know how this, like, is there heaven in this? I mean, if there are demons, in theory, there has to be heaven.
I mean, there's definitely hell, and it's just being the audience. Well, got him. I don't even know if the show's still going on.
It's not. It ran for 3 seasons and then got canceled, I think.
Can we also talk about how every male character talked in this gruff whisper voice? They're like, I'm a demon or a vampire. And I'm like... kind of medium sexy, more like a bargain sexy, like not a CW sexy or even a NBC sexy, just like freeform sexy, you know? Like they all had that voice and I was like, what's going on here? Just you need some tea? Do you need like a lozenge? Just relax.
Do you think that like it was a little too serious and they definitely didn't justify how serious they were about shit because
it's
again,
goofy as hell.
Like it's a super demon and I'm like, okay. Are you going to fight it? And they're like, well, no, we're just going to get confused. And like that, it would have been interesting if in this episode you have the potential for a bottle episode, but instead they were like, here's a million subplots where they're stuck in this super advanced facility and they're trying to kill it. But they don't lean into that.
Nope. Or maybe the demon's like less dumb at being a demon and is like, you know, I can do a lot more damage if I'm not like obviously a bad guy.
And many people have this deep monster voice.
Are you gonna watch another episode of Shadowhunters?
Fuck no, I will not.
I will also not be watching another episode of Shadowhunters. Anyways, yep. next on the segments, kind of wrapping up the episode with a little news at the end. The segment yep. We like to call News Town. Do you have a news for me?
I think we should just start right off, and then we're going to talk about this very briefly. But the Godzilla vs. Kong trailer has dropped. And the first two trailers for this universe, like for Godzilla and then for Godzilla King of Monsters, were really good trailers to bad films.
The first this one, was, so good.
It's such a scary trailer to a bad film.
Yeah.
But this, I don't even know if the trailer was good, so that's where we are.
Godzilla kind of gets his shit wrecked in the whole trailer. He doesn't land a single hit. And King Kong has a hammer now, because apparently there was a war between him and lizards or something. I don't know. It's stupid.
Godzilla is just cooler. But Godzilla is objectively cooler, and he has a big laser in his mouth. And I think he's more important culturally and, like, yes. more important to cinema in general than King Kong is, because I think King Kong is kind of a wet fart and boring. I felt this way about Alien versus Predator, because I was like, one of them is Alien and the other is the fucking jungle rat. So so Thor 4 started filming today.
Woot woot.
In weird news, Misha Green, who created Lovecraft Country, is going to direct Tomb Raider 2, which is really unexpected, because who saw that movie coming? But also, like, this is obviously someone super talented.
Is Tomb Raider 2 going to be good?
Tomb Raider 2 is going to be fucking wild, full of monsters, apparently.
It's
going to
be great.
I'm
I'm actually hyped about that now.
So the Disney $30 train is coming back. You thought we were free?
Wait, what do you mean? No. $30 train?
Raya and the Last Dragon, with the trailer dropped, I want to say today or yesterday, is the new big Disney animated movie coming out in March, which will be in theaters for 2 seconds, but no one will see it because of the Waterworld stunt show.
Yeah.
But they were like, it's also on Disney Plus Premier Access, which means you can pay $30 probably to watch it, which is a lot of money.
That's silly. I'll just wait like a month, because that's what they did with Mulan.
Yeah, and like, I know we have a lot of Marvel shows coming down the pipeline, and like, they do have a show on right now, but I'm like, oh, there's still not a lot going on at Disney Plus. I feel like they could just give me us a little something.
No, and odd that they're like, you know the ones that we're gonna make them pay for, the ones with Asians in them. You know, let's make them pay for Asians, which makes me feel a little weird.
I don't really like this model. I feel like they could, with Netflix making so many films, and we'll see for better or worse, I'm sure some of them will be good. I don't think it would hurt for Disney to have movies on their thing.
No, and like, Soul did pretty good too.
I think Soul, yeah. Soul did really well. Why they won't give us some meat, you know, give us some stuff. I want to see a giant magic dragon and honestly pretty cool sword fights.
It looks good.
A lot cooler
than I
thought.
I'm super stoked on it.
I am too.
What are you going to do? You're going to wait 2 months and they're going to put on for free, because...
Of course they are.
What, they have three other things that are going on right now, you know?
Speaking of which, 3 episodes of WandaVision are out on Disney Plus right now.
It's so good.
And yeah, it was definitely the show I was worried about the most. And I'll be honest, I wasn't the biggest Vision fan going in.
Mm. Who was?
So far, it's been absolutely delightful. Totally different tone from any other Marvel thing. Like, this is very much in the style of older TV shows from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And it's super joyful and kind of creepy. And there's a lot of, like, impending doom, I guess, is how the show feels. Yeah. And I can't really explain why or how, but... There's just a real feeling in the pit in my stomach about this show that it's going to get really sad and really scary.
I saw a tweet that was like, I love WandaVision until I remember the scary end is coming. And I'm like, yep, it's always creepy at the very end.
But it's building up to like what will be a very dramatic reveal probably. And I'm very excited. But so far, I'm really enjoying the build up and just kind of seeing the Wanda and Vision having a good time. And I really like it. It's very charming.
There was an article, might have been Polygon, but sure. They were like, yeah, WandaVision's just too different for Marvel fans. But like, the whole, you know, media, entertainment news media is like, oh, Marvel movies are the same. And then like, a Marvel property is like, we're going to do something different. And they're like, yeah, it's too different.
Yeah, like, I'm sure people were fucking saying that about Guardians. Like,
yeah.
I feel like Marvel like, does well when successful. They get weird, you know?
Yeah. People like weird.
The medium, which will be out by the time this episode is out, is an Xbox game coming to Game Pass on the 28th, and is a very Silent Hill horror game, which looks really cool because there are two worlds that you can travel between. One of them is Earth, and the other one is, you know, the upside down super hell, with giant monsters in it.
Yep.
But hey, if it saves time.
There's no bridge on Earth, but there's a bridge in super hell.
I'm excited. I think it has potential. There was one more thing I wanted to talk about, and it's a very dark thing.
Please. And then I'll get to our weekly
update
on the dumpster fire. But continue.
So I did watch the pilot episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yep.
The new CW show starring Sam of fame.
Jared Padalecki.
Yes. Whatever.
How bad is it?
It's like a 2, I think.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to watch anymore. I told myself I'd watch 1 just to kind of be supportive, see what's going on. But it's very bad. Mm-hmm. And the episode opens and his wife gets shot like almost right away, and it doesn't really get explained, and then it jumps 11 months in the future, and apparently he was in an undercover case for a really long time and didn't call his kids for 3 months. Not great.
Did he not know his wife had been shot?
No, his wife got shot, and then he's like, oh no, my wife, and then it says 11 months later, and then he was on an undercover case, and then he comes back, and his parents are like, we enrolled your kids in the private Catholic school, and he's like, I didn't want you to do that. There's a lot of just sad, terrible tension. Like, he gets a little too drunk, and he carries around a casino chip because his wife was found with it when she was dead, and he's like, what does it mean? And his brother's like, yeah, it's whatever, man.
Probably just gambled, dude.
And he, like, beats a dude up, and his daughter is like, you don't give a shit about me, and his son is just, like, falling to pieces because he's had to, like, do so much, and it's just a bummer, and I'm like, 20 episodes of this? 20 episodes of this? I can't do it.
If you've been tuning in week to week, which I know you have, you've known that I talk about Cyberpunk 2077 once a week, because boy does news travel. So they last week they released their 1.1 patch for the game, and it's the first of two kind of big overhauls to the game. A lot of good things that I'm not gonna specifically mention because they're not as spicy, but. Were added, but the real creme de la creme, there is a game breaking bug in that was introduced in this patch. So it's like the setup for the last mission of the game. You'll get a phone call from some dude, and his face will pop up on the screen, but he won't say anything, and like the dialogue won't progress, and so he's just kind of there, and it doesn't set up like the next mission. He's just there forever. Like, you can't play the game after that. Like, there's no more main mission. You know, I'm sure they'll release a hot fix for it, in the next few days. They like on their website, CD Projekt Red is like, here's what you do. You go in the room, you'd make a quick save. You go out of the room, he calls you. The glitch happens. You load the previous save. Then before you leave the room, you call him and hang up. Then he calls you and the dialogue happens. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, guys. Like, that's... Do you see how bad this is? It also comes out, like, at a time where Jason Schreier of Forbes, formerly at Kotaku, just kind of a big name in games journalism, but he published this expose interviewing 20 current and previous employees at CD Projekt Red, saying that it's just like an entire shit show over there, and management is just all over the place, and that the demo that was played at one of the big gaming conferences was fake. It's not looking good for them right now, and I feel real bad because I want them to be good, but it's just, man, it's just a mess. In February, there's going to be another big patch. They say, this is the big one. This is the big patch that's going to change the game, revolutionize the game. I'm still holding on. Hey, if you want to torture us with your favorite show or least favorite show, you want to give us something to watch for Middle Watch because, you know, we haven't suffered enough, hit us up on our socials, Twitter and Instagram at Out of Dodge Pod. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us how you like the show. Tell us how you don't like the show, you know? Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon. Hopefully.
We will see you.
I'm this, and I'm this, and welcome to our video.
We had a reptile.
We wish it wouldn't have been alive.